a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Wait, do I have to do a show today? Do I have to do a show? No. Serious question. Sean Mabes, producer of the Paul Gallant Show, gave classified Google documents to John Granato and Dell for this morning's edition of The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sean, they did the show. Why am I here?
They didn't do the show. I helped them discuss what we were going to talk about.
Right. I betrayed my friend, Paul Gallant.
Did I betray?
No.
I didn't spill all the beans.
These are state secrets from my brain.
I didn't drop soft boys at 11:15.
That's good, at least.
I kept a little, you know.
Got to keep some of those benchmarks.
Yes, like a movie trailer, which is what I liken to it, which I stand by the comparison that it was a movie trailer for the Paul Gallant Show, and people can decide whether or not they want to stick around. Oh, yeah, that looks good. We also got, of course, garbage time. We got Texans free agency.
Okay.
Little talk about free agency.
So you did the whole show.
No, I left the back half of the show completely question mark.
Well, that's probably because you didn't think the back half of the show was good enough for the bench, you know?
Honestly, it's because I didn't scroll that far. the Slowick stuff, the Johnson stuff, I mean, that's obviously the biggest news and what they talked about. So, you know.
But they stole my material. The bench stole Paul Gallant Show material at 9:30 today. You should check it out on the podcast. It's not funny at all. Nope, it's not funny. It's not a laughing matter. Two things that are not laughing matter: erectile dysfunction and stealing Paul Gallant Show content. I get it. Like, you have the borderline problematic old man and the buzzkill doing my show, so it's got a different twist to it.
Different twist.
But honestly, how dare you? And there was a part where I'm driving into work today where I thought about just careening off the road and driving into a building. Luckily, there is a completely pointless light at Bering Drive off of Westheimer. I thought against it. But, I mean, what's my point? What's the point of me existing in this world?
I would just like to say that the producer who betrayed you
should be shot.
No,
right?
Yes, he should be. And that is bench producer Sean Mapes. This is Paul Gallant Show producer Sean Mapes. There's, of course, actual Sean Mapes. These are two characters that I play.
Okay.
That I will use to get me out of trouble anytime trouble comes up. It's a character.
Littlefinger Sean Mapes behind the glass.
Yes.
Climbing
Paul,
the ladder.
Paul Gallant Show producer Sean Mapes behind the glass.
Okay.
What people may have heard earlier before 10 o'clock was bench part-time producer Sean Mapes.
On serious note, it was hilarious, but it hurt my feelings. So where are we today on this Wednesday, January 31st of 2024? I am Paul Gallant, and this is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You want to jump aboard, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or on our brand spanking new YouTube channel at ESPN Houston. Guys, I am so pumped for the Houston Texans in 2024. First, Bobby Slowick is staying. Despite Ben Johnson turning down the Commanders and Seahawks job, which would have made some, like a Jeremy Branham, say there was a 50% chance of Bobby Slowick leaving, he ain't. Why? Because as we asked for last week, Cal McNair gave him a new deal. Texans swarm! Hell yeah, Cal. Throwing that big boy money around. Everyone gives some grief, but the man pays the bills. And isn't that the key to life? Because, yeah, you need to pay for water and electricity and, you know, to keep the fridge running and all that stuff. But Texans swarm! You know who else is staying? Gerard Johnson. He ain't leaving either, even though he's not going to get promoted to offensive coordinator. Because he, too, got himself a pay raise after interviewing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for their offensive coordinator position earlier in the day. Texans!
Y'all know what time it is. Texans!
Hell yeah, CJ Stroud. We're all in. 2024. It's going to be a big year. Now, before our no longer deep steel blue balls slash battle red pants tent gets out of control, suck it in the waistband for a moment. This coaching staff does need to be better next year. One, too many penalties. This is for D'Amico Ryans. This is for Bobby Slowick. This is for Gerard Johnson. There were too many penalties last year. Of course, in the playoffs, my God, what was it? 5-6 pre-snap penalties against the Ravens and the game against the Colts. How many penalties were there? The Browns was the anomaly. Very penalized team. Two, Bobby Slowick. Bro, you don't always need to be cute. You don't. Felt like there was one moment a game where he got a little bit too cute. I'm not saying don't ever be cute. Like me at the Houston Sports Awards last night. Damn, I looked good. What I am saying is, though, that sometimes don't overthink it with the double reverses and the speed sweeps to Steven Sims and the weird double reverse pass that loses you 5 yards or the spin around in a circle screen that you tried to throw against the Ravens as well. Cut out some of the cute, but I'm pumped, guys. I am pumped for 2024. And, you know, again, let's circle back to Cal McNair. I mean, this guy, he's just generous. I was scrolling on the internet looking for moments where Cal McNair has spoken. He hasn't spoken that much, but the last couple of years, he's been coming out of his shell a little bit. He's been bringing his wife, Hannah McNair, around. Hannah's had a tremendous impact, I think, on the Texans actually listening to what fans want. Like, they're trying a lot harder, and they have been over the past year. And we hope that that keeps up. Obviously, now there is a reason to be invested in the Houston Texans going forward. But speaking of investments, I think that we should all consider investing stock in potential TED Talks by this famous artist who Cal McNair clearly listens to and clearly believes in. Here he is talking to our guy, Big Sarge Sports, before the first game of this year in Baltimore.
Cal has a great statement from Pitbull.
Oh, yeah, let me see if I can remember. I heard it just the other day. He said, people say money does not buy happiness. And he said money does buy happiness when you give it away. So I thought that was really awesome.
I thought that was really awesome as well. And guess what Cal McNair just did yesterday? He gave it away. Bobby Slowick, raise. Gerard Johnson, raise. The whole band's staying together. C.J. Stroud, not going to have to figure out a relationship with a new offensive coordinator, with a new quarterback coach. Going into next year, everything's going to be the same. There's stability. It's been so long since there's been stability here. Head coach, this is the first time that the head coach is returning for a next season in a while. Offensive coordinator, same deal. This is great. They have things that they got to work on this offseason. But I'm excited. And, you know, it's got me thinking about another Pitbull word. Another Pitbull line. Right? Who can forget back in 2014 when he dropped this on us?
Playoffs, player. Turn up, player. Cinco, cuatro, tres, dos, uno.
It's over now.
Playoffs.
I'm yelling to know. You better move. You better go. Conference Championship. Conference Championship. Super Bowl.
Hit me, Pitt!
AFC Championship. Super Bowl. Playoffs. Conference Championship. Super Bowl. Hell yeah, guys. A great question on the Twitch. It's from my guy, HRW713. Paul, I'm confused. I thought we were a basketball town. Are we a football town? Well, guys, it's official today. It's official. What's that I hear in the background? What's that I hear? Oh, yeah. Guys, Houston is a football town once again, Sean. Welcome back. All it took was a couple of raises for assistant coaches. Once again, Houston's a football town. Now, could it be a baseball town literally a month from now? Maybe. It could also be a basketball town literally a month from now. But on today, January 31st, 2024, the greatest day of your life, Houston is once again a football town. Hut, 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 hut. So I hope everybody's excited.
I think they are. How could they not be excited?
I don't know how you can't be excited. The whole gang staying together. They have to be better next year, but.
Yeah, but come on. They will. I mean.
Come on.
Yeah.
They can't get Bobby worse.
It was Bobby Slunk's first year calling plays, just like it was C.J. Stroud's first year playing quarterback. Do you expect C.J. Stroud to improve?
Yeah.
Why don't you expect Bobby Slunk to improve?
I expect him to improve. I expect D'Amico Ryans to improve. Honestly, I don't know if Jerrod Johnson has to improve on anything, given how great of a job he did as the quarterback coach. I mean, shoot, Davis Mills even came in and did a couple of good things. Case Keenum won an effing game.
That is Jerrod, true.
Jerrod Johnson, like the one guy that doesn't need to do anything next year. He was awesome, but truly. And I mean, again, this is a man who helped me run a 4.840 after running the first time of a 5.02, which I was embarrassed by.
Y'all know what time it is. Texas!
Four! Hell yeah. Oh, God, I'm so pumped. I am so pumped. So, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 97.5. Wait, did I say that twice? Jeez, I'm having a stroke. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston or twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Coming up next, first, you get to answer the question on the most interactive sports talk show in town. Is Houston a football town again? If you want to entertain that. But I think it's time to introduce a new segment where we appreciate the official best owner in Houston sports as of Wednesday, January 31st, 2024. Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN 97.5, because every day is Children's Day.
It was a baby. She smothered her own baby.
Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Yesterday, Houston was a basketball town. Today, greatest day of your life, Houston's a football town again. It's because Cal McNair gave raises to Bobby Slowick and Jerrod Johnson. And the whole gang's getting back together next year. Wait, can't say gang. Can't say posse either. The whole coaching staff is getting back together next year. From the 346 on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Hold up, Pauly G. You said it's a basketball town. But when Euros score 70 points, it's now an NFL town.
Did a Euro score 70 points last night or something, Sean? Is everyone scoring 70 points in the NBA now?
No, I think Luka is still the most recent Euro to score.
Gotcha. I thought it was Joel Embiid. We're confusing our continents if we are saying that Joel Embiid is European.
Yeah, he's, by the way.
I don't see continents.
By the way, if he's healthy, he will play for Team USA in the Olympics.
That's so hilarious.
He's one of ours.
That's true. He's an American. And
Captain America, Joel Embiid.
And Karl Anthony Towns, he scored a franchise record in a loss.
He plays for Team Puerto Rico, though.
Wait, what?
Yeah, his mom's Puerto Rican.
Oh, okay. Well, probably couldn't make Team USA. Not too much of a soft boy.
Yeah.
11:15, soft boys here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Another text, Joseph G. commented, you could talk about the Houston Sports Awards last night. I could talk about the Houston Sports Awards last night. But C.J. Stroud won all of the important ones. So that's really all you need to know. It was fun. I had a good time. Eric the Driver texts in, I wish I could speak two languages as well as Pitbull almost speaks. For those who weren't listening in the first segment, we played a clip of Cal McNair speaking with Big Sarge Sports about how Pitbull has taught him something where money might not be the key to happiness, but giving money to others can be the key to happiness. A lot of wisdom that you could learn from Pitbull, Sean. I went to his IMDb.
Oh yeah, does he have some quotes?
Yeah, you can't get much wider than me. He said that. I'm not really sure that's motivational. I'm taking all the negatives in my life and turning them into a positive. That's positive.
Yeah. He has one, me not working hard, ? Yeah, right. Picture that with a Kodak. Better yet, go to Times Square, take a picture of me with a Kodak.
Ooh, nice.
This one actually is something that Cal can relate to. Took my life from a negative to positive. Just want you to know that.
Well, now we do know that.
Yes, and the Texans took their lives from a negative to a positive.
You know, speaking of Cal McNair, here's what Pitbull has to say about his owner. My owner is life, and that's what I fight for.
Whoa.
Hell yeah.
What does it mean? Never mind. I don't want to look too deep into it.
I'm definitely someone, said Pitbull once, who enjoys life and wakes up with a ball of energy. Hell yeah. I work hard, but I play hard too. Pitbull. I look at this game from a different perspective. Pitbull. Now, probably a bit hypocritical for Pitbull to say, I like to keep my money at the end of the day, when he's also saying that the key to life is giving money instead of having money. But that's Pitbull, guys. That's a guy that has found his way into the mind of Cal McNair, who is now the most successful owner in Houston sports. Sure, didn't win a Super Bowl, eliminated in the divisional round of the playoffs, but another AFC South championship, kept Bobby Slowick, kept Gerard Johnson, whole things coming back together next year, vibes out of control. We've been doing this segment called Lick the Boot to give credit to one Jim Crane and make fun of bad owners across sports while praising Jim Crane. It's time to introduce a new edition of Lick the Boot.
Can Texans owner Cal McNair
or Hannah
do anything wrong?
We have high hopes of where it's going to go. I think it's going to be really exciting times for Texans.
Let us all gather round and lick the boot of the greatest owner in Houston sports by making fun of other bad owners.
I hope you've washed your ass this morning. It's about to be kissed.
Cal McNair, stock up. These owners stock down. Did you see Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, each speaking for about 30 minutes at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama? Jerry Jones dropped this line. I don't really know what it means, but if I were a Cowboy fan, I would be pissed off hearing it.
I would anticipate, with looking ahead at our key contracts that we'd like to address, we'll be all in. I would anticipate we'll be all in at the end of this year. So when you say, is there any thought I think Will Strainer will push the hell out of it.
All in. But what does that mean when you're still in with Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy? Can you go more all in than where you already are? I'm not sure how you go about doing that unless you're about to give massive backloaded extensions to Micah Parsons, if that's possible. I'm not sure if he's eligible for that yet. C.D. Lamb at the same time. More from Jerry Jones. He claimed that he did not have to talk himself into keeping Mike McCarthy. He also said of Dak Prescott, Dak has done nothing to change my mind about any promise for the future, but later said, we'll go as far as Dak takes us. Look, the Cowboys have been successful the last couple of seasons, but do you want to hear any of this stuff from Jerry Jones? Honestly, I love that Jerry Jones is as forward-facing as he is. I think more sports owners should be. He doesn't always enjoy the questions that he gets, but he at least takes them, which most sports owners do not do. But you don't want to hear from Jerry. When he starts speaking, you're like, oh, damn, wait, this guy's the one reason that the Cowboys dynasty basically died in the mid-90s because he and Jimmy Johnson couldn't see eye to eye. Saw something from Troy Aikman the other day where he was talking about how, yeah, basically when Jimmy Johnson left, we stopped holding ourselves accountable and it just turned into a mess. And that was one of the reasons I wanted out of football as early as I did. More from the Dallas Cowboy ownership group. Stephen Jones said, people won't trust us until we get it done like Brady and Mahomes. Well, don't you need those guys to do that? And is Dak Prescott that guy? Man, who would have thought that Cal McNair would be lapping the Jones family? Best ownership of football in the state of Texas. It belongs to Cal McNair. We need a silver boot for the Texans-Cowboys rivalry that plays in the preseason every year and usually the last game where no one actually plays. And on top of that, occasionally plays each other in the regular season. We need a trophy for that, but we also need an offseason trophy. And Cal McNair is beating Jerry Jones at his own game, the offseason.
Yeah. What, should it still be silver boots or should it be like something else, something more ownery? Actually, I got it. I don't want to get into owners in Texas what they historically have done.
That's a great point.
Let's not go too far back in history.
We don't want inmates running the prison, after all. But how about, to make it kind of problematic and on brand with what you're asking for, how about the silver lasso? Lasso.
Okay.
Well, what? The Cowboys? Yeah. The Texans are a bull logo and a cowboy. So who wins? Is the cowboy going to get the horns or is the cowboy going to lasso the bull? So it's the silver lasso. Don't use it for anything other than just bull wrangling. That's it.
I'm trying to think of other things. You know,
there's nothing else.
The spirit of the cowboy lives on through this segment. And I'm trying to think of, you know, because hat's taken. Boots are taken. Spurs are taken.
The battle for the
saddle.
The battle for the Magnum of Pendleton whiskey.
Oh, I mean that's. What more could you ask for?
That's true Western tradition. Other bad owners across the NFL. I think you could make the same case for the Rooney family, which is saying the exact same thing in a way as Jerry Jones. It's what you want to hear from your owner, but if you're a Steelers fan, do you believe the Steelers are capable of this? We've had enough of no playoffs. It's time to get some wins. It's time to take these next steps. Great bluster. You're all in too, but like, what are you doing? You're even more effed than the Cowboys. At least the Cowboys have Dak. Dak's good. It's not great, but he's good. And you're saying, yeah, this is unacceptable. Well, I don't know. Stop having terrible quarterbacks. I mean, damn. Like, is Ben Roethlisberger throwing 3-yard checkdowns better than what you have right now? What's Big Ben doing? Is Big Ben in worse shape than he was in the NFL or in better shape?
guarantee you worse shape.
You think so? Okay. More bad owners as we lick the boot of Cal McNair. I'm so glad I'm done with the Red Sox. I'm so done. And was done for a while. Fenway Sports Group, instead of spending money on the Red Sox this offseason, $3 billion to be part of the Live Golf PGA merger. What a bunch of a-holes that group is. They smear Terry Francona, Nomar Garciaparra, Pedro Martinez, Manny Ramirez, and the Patriots, for Christ's sake, through the Boston Globe, their paper, which they own and push propaganda out through. And yet, with all this money, they're going to focus on a golf merger? Jesus. They have the money. They're just diversifying to the most obnoxious degree possible. At least the Glazers, who piss off Manchester United fans in Europe, at least the Glazers, it's just the Bucks and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Manchester United. These guys can't stop buying stuff, but not Red Sox players. It's crazy.
Yeah, they'll spend money everywhere except for Mookie Betts or anyone to replace Mookie Betts.
Legitimately, yes. Just take a look at everybody this offseason. We'll sign some random guy from Japan or from Korea who, okay, that's cool and all, but where were you on the Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes, right? Like, you have the money, clearly. You're one of three teams that has the money, and you don't spend it. Oh, my goodness. And as we continue to lick the boot, thoughts and prayers and RIP to John Angelos, the owner of the Baltimore Orioles, who I once killed on the air before ironically having a meal on his account. No later than a week later, seriously. John Angelos' tab has paid for a Paul Gallant meal, the irony. He is selling the Orioles. So will the Orioles have more money to play with as they look to build a dynasty, as everyone was hyping the bleep out of them this whole year, and then they did nothing in the playoffs? We'll see. But that is licking the boot of Cal McNair, guys. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5. And 92.5 will react to some of your comments on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston next. And CJ Stroud got the award that we've been waiting for him to get all season long. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pump it up.
Come on, Digna. It's too small for the both of us.
No, it isn't. Jump on, man. I'll give you a pump.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues. Desert Stroh comments on YouTube.com/ESPN. Paul, we're the wrong kind of football town. You're saying American football? No, we're a football town. Because the Dynamo are tied for the most championships in Houston sports history. Actually, that's incorrect. Houston Comets, RIP. They got the most. Four in a row. Number two, yesterday, Houston was a basketball town, but today, Houston's a football town once again. Always has been. After Cal McNair gave raises to Bobby Slowick and Jerod Johnson, offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. We should all, Sean Mapes, be very excited about that.
Yeah. Doesn't this just remind you of, like, the 2017-2018 range of Houston sports?
The golden age of Houston sports? Yes. Another tired, hacky, regular sports radio topic in Houston?
But the last 2 days, not only did the Cougs beat Texas, which a lot of people in the city enjoyed, you had the Rockets absolutely demolishing the Lakers. They're probably going to fire the coach. And now, Bobby Slowick, Jerod Johnson, back? We all thought they were gone, but they pulled us back. Or no.
They thought they were out.
They thought they were out, but we pulled them back in.
Pulled them back in.
By throwing money at them.
Yes. But, man. Whew. Also, Josh Hader got signed like a week ago. Like,
that's true, too.
The owners
are spending. The owners give a damn here. Now, I think with the Rockets, it's a little bit different given the stage that they're at. But they did spend a ton this offseason on Dylan Brooks, who has been so fun this year, and
Fred Van Vliet. So they're not signing the big, massive names.
Yeah.
They've never signed the big, massive names, the Houston Rockets, let's be honest. But everyone's spending. The things that they are paying for definitely vary team to team. But I will give this city's owners credit. They have actually been looking out for the best interests of the people that pay to watch their product over the last calendar year. They've all, I think, done a very good job of spending and paying. Does it work out? Obviously, with like Rafael Montero, with Jose Abreu, for the Astros, we've got some questions. But seriously, tip of the hat, golf claps for Houston sports owners.
All three, not just the teams themselves, but I feel like the Q rating of the owners. Again, the last couple weeks, it's all been big green arrow up.
Yeah, 100%.
Jim Crane was going down at the start of the offseason. Then he's like, boom, how about this? And back up.
Seriously, it's been fun. It's nice because obviously a couple of years ago, we did have the Astros, but it was so bad for the other two teams. So it's really nice to see, and hopefully it continues. CJ Stroud is officially a Pro Bowler. It's the award that we were all hoping he'd get. No, not NFL MVP. No, not even NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. Nope, we were all hoping he'd be a Pro Bowler at the Pro Bowl games this weekend. We'll discuss this in a little more detail at 11 o'clock because, oh my, has the Pro Bowl, which was already pretty damn south, gone south. Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. We all thought he would be the head coach of the Washington Commanders. He told the Commanders and the Seahawks he's staying with Detroit. A little PR write-up, probably from his agent, courtesy of Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network. Johnson is only 37. He'll be a hot coaching candidate again next year. It was last year, too. But first, he wants to take another shot at bringing a Lombardi Trophy to Detroit. If you're a Commanders fan, I mean, damn, that just sucks. No one wants the job. The Commanders are where the Texans were last year. Go check that. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when they ended up only being able to hire David Culley, when they ended up only being able to hire Lovie Smith, they're stuck there. And it makes me wonder, okay, if you're the Commanders and you're also thinking about the big picture of the NFL, why not just give it to Eric Bieniemy so everyone stops whining about whether or not Eric Bieniemy should get a head coaching gig? Because, okay, if it doesn't work out, you can move on from him after a year if you're Josh Harris and the Commanders ownership group. But if it does work out, oh, cool, okay, fine. Either way, people will stop talking about why hasn't Bieniemy gotten a head coaching gig. At this point, who are you going to hire? Now, they have brought in Aaron Glenn. I like Aaron Glenn. He's the defensive coordinator of the Lions. But I think if you're the Commanders, you may as well just make it Eric Bieniemy.
And
not DJ Bieniemy.
No. If you want to get on, I mean, because they have a new owner. If you want to, you know, absolutely flip the script in the eyes of the NFL and Roger Goodell, what the Commanders need to do, like you said, Eric Bieniemy, head coach, defensive coordinator, Brian Flores.
Ooh.
Take that for lawsuit.
That's great, Sean.
Just a lawsuit shield right there.
Goodell,
protecting the shield from lawsuits.
Look at you. I mean, you're ingratiating yourself to the bench this morning by stealing some of my rundown ideas and giving it to them when they were too uncreative to think of something at 9:30. And on top of that, you are ingratiating yourself to the redheaded hammer, Roger Goodell.
How great would it be if just like, hey, Paul, by the way, I got a new job. I'm leaving.
I am now upper management at the NFL. You'd have to cut your hair. They wouldn't let no hippies around the front office there.
Yeah.
Hell no.
A lot of dress code things would probably have to change.
Yeah.
From what I gather from the NFL, they're pretty strict on the dress code.
Pretty strict. No sock games anymore.
Yeah.
Those socks better be pulled up all the way.
Better be the team colors, too.
No flip-flops. No sweats.
No.
No headbands. Yeah, has to be officially Nike licensed.
I will say, Paul, that's when you know to start worrying, is when I get a very corporate-friendly haircut. That's when you had to start worrying.
Okay, that's definitely something that I will keep in the back of my mind going forward. So Commanders haven't hired anybody. Seahawks still haven't hired anybody either. I guess they had Ravens defensive coordinator Mike McDonald in for a visit. That seems like the smart play for the Seahawks, given how well he's done against the Shanahans. By the way, Bill Belichick, no job. Texans? Texans defensive coordinator? Huh? I mean, he's available. You got Nick Caserio in Houston.
Yeah, or you got the connections.
I mean, I hear that he might be going to Fox. Oh, my God. It would be Patriots porn. Fox has Brady and Gronk and Belichick. Oh, my God. I would love that. Anyway, I'd volunteer to be an intern on that show. I'd leave this job. Speaking of leaving jobs, no offense. No offense, Mr. Gow.
At least I'm leaving to join the machine that is the NFL. You're joining to...
Unpaid internship.
To get coffee for Rob Gronkowski. Coffee and whatever else he drinks.
He deserves that coffee.
You're there to pour Four Loko into a coffee cup and give it to Rob Gronkowski.
Hell yeah. Per Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal, Belichick is still on the Eagles' radar, but more for next year. He was on the Eagles' radar. There was also this interesting story about how bad things got between Belichick and Mac Jones that came out. Belichick just stopped talking to him week 12. He just stopped talking to him. Keep in mind, there's 18 weeks in an NFL season. Week 12, he was done. Last game of the year, he made Mac Jones third string and inactive and never told him. Because obviously he hadn't talked to him since week 12. And in that game, I guess Mac Jones went over to the Jets sideline and complained about how he was being treated compared to how upfront the Jets have been with Zach Wilson. Which, honestly, fair gripe by Mac Jones. Totally fair gripe. I don't blame him for doing that. A little weird that he did it in the game. Who's leaking this? This is such a messy, messy story. More messes coming out of Foxborough by the day.
To be fair, Mac Jones, I mean, it was during a game, but he was inactive. So he was just standing. It was probably during pregame. He was just said what's up to, I'm sure, one of the 15 Alabama teammates that he has that are on the Jets.
Yeah.
And was like, yeah, this sucks. Come get me. Come trade for me. Zach Wilson for Mac Jones. Who says no? Do either team make the trade? Because, you know. Actually, no. The Jets probably say no because they're like, God, how much would it suck if Zach Wilson got good for the
Patriots?
That's
100% in the back of their mind. And honestly, it would be the same thing for the Patriots, too. Like, what if Mac Jones gets good with the Jets?
But at least the Patriots don't have the fear or, like, don't have 20 years of history to show them why they should be scared of that happening. The Jets would be scared. It's scared out of their minds that Zach Wilson's going to be the next Tom Brady.
While we're talking about the NFL coaching carousel, this is a tidbit that I saw courtesy of the Charlotte Observer yesterday. This story is fascinating. So I don't know much about Dave Canales. I was listening to a podcast before the conference championships, I think on Friday, and I forget which one it was, but they were talking about the hiring of Dave Canales. I want to say it was Todd McShay on with Ryan Russillo. And McShay talked about how Canales is, like, I guess, a man of faith and fairly religious. So that's surprising given that he wrote a book with his wife. This marriage, the question that changed everything. In the book, Dave Canales, head coach of the Carolina Panthers, admitted to having multiple affairs earlier in his life. He wrote a book about this. A portion of the book concerns his sexual infidelity and how the couple worked their way through it, partly through counseling, which they advocate, and eventually found their way back to a Christian-based marriage. He says in this book, I cheated on Lizzie for the first time at my bachelor party 1 month before we got married. He's definitely not alone on that front, as far as I know, in this crazy world we live in. Continuing, from the start of our relationship, I was binge drinking and going out with my friends without Lizzie. Before I was ever unfaithful to her, I was already there in my mind. Bad habits combined with addiction made it hard for me to resist temptation. He admitted he would go out with his friends, remove his wedding ring, and pretend he wasn't married. Also, the Panthers put out a statement saying they were fully aware of the book and its contents during their head coach interview process. They gave this guy a 6-year contract. What are the odds that Dave Canales starts coaching elsewhere in the middle of this contract? Is it fair to make that question based off of his book? Honestly, it kind of is.
Wait, he left us for the Saints. What happened?
New Falcons head coach Dave Canales.
That's sleeping around the NFC South.
It is a nuts story. I can't believe that wasn't brought up until like a couple of days later. Good job by the Charlotte Observer finding that. That's a fascinating book, too. I kind of want to read it.
I love that the Panthers had to be like, yes, we're aware of the book that a head coaching candidate wrote. Like, yes, our background check involved Googling his name and seeing what popped up.
That is nuts. Anyway, that's going to wrap up our 10-minute drill. Paul DeLaccio.
I'm still kind of reeling from it, to be honest.
Dude, I saw that this morning, and I was like, wait a second. What the hell is
taking off his
this?
Ring before going out is... That makes it premeditated.
Dude, I've got some... We might save it for garbage time. We might bring this back up in garbage time. I have some personal stories, not about me, but about other people that I know. I'm shocked by how some people handle the old ring. Anyway, on the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, we continue our Astros countdown with an interesting question about leadership in the Astros clubhouse. Who is going to be the guy in a post-Martin Maldonado world? First, though, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. Guys, I've been talking about it for months now. This is my favorite whiskey. Smooth, refreshing. I like it with one single rock, two fingers. I was drinking it when we were doing our football post-game show during the playoffs a couple of weeks ago. It's a great way to kick back, unwind, and relax at the end of every single day. It's made with the finest northern grains and cut with Mount Hood glacier water. It's barrel-aged in American oak. It's a smooth, rich taste with a complex flavor. It's steeped in true Western tradition. We live boldly when we're living that Western tradition out. You never lose sight of the values you believe in, and you taste the moment wherever you may be. It's Pendleton Whiskey, a premium whiskey born in the great American West. It's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dog Show.
How much weight do you think I could bench press? Just make a guess. Ballpark figure.
To the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
That Dave Canales story is something else. I'm still a little jarred by it myself.
He's only, what, 37, you said?
42.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it's Ben Johnson. He's 37. 42. Okay. Because I was just thinking, like, how... It's hard to go, you know, that was so long ago. That was an older, you know, now I'm older, more mature. That was young me. And it's like, it's hard to squeeze all that growth into a small amount of time.
Seriously, yeah. Look, I mean, best of luck to him. Clearly he and his wife are back on the same page. If you can reestablish trust in a relationship after something like that,
and
all the power in the world to you. Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, wow. You wrote a book about your perhaps worst moment ever. You've rebounded from it, I hope. You better stay there. You better effing stay there. I mean, I think the knives came out privately when you did this. I mean, it's a lot to put out of the open. Whatever. Let's shift topics. The Houston Astros are 12 days away from having pitchers and catchers report to spring training in West Palm Beach. Give me that trombone!
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
Number 12, greatest Astro. To wear that number for Brian McTaggart in this list, this guy has the coolest nickname I think I've ever heard. Doug Rader, the Red Rooster. It's a sick name. Do you have red hair? Kind of want to know the backstory to that. Won 5 consecutive gold gloves at third base from 1970 to 1974. And he was the second person to hit an upper decker homer in the Astrodome in 1970. That's a great nickname. Sean, you made a face when I said the Red Rooster. What's wrong with the Red Rooster?
It's a fine nickname. But
fine? It's more than fine. That's a great nickname.
I don't know. Are roosters that cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
They wake everybody up in the morning. They have lots of sex.
Yeah, people love being woken up in the morning.
Well, hey, someone's got to do it. Someone's got to do it.
Just one of the best nicknames ever.
I love it. It's a good nickname in Astros history.
No, it's a good nickname. Also, more like Red Rooster, more like Red Rifle BB Gun, right?
Hell yeah. Right, folks? Hell yeah, J.J. Watt. You tell him. Well, speaking of Astros with nicknames, Martin Maldonado was known by some as Machete.
That's a better nickname than Red Rooster.
I like the Red Rooster a little bit better. I don't like violence, Sean. I don't. Chandler Rome put out a piece in The Athletic. The headline, Astros lost 3 of their biggest leaders. Who will step up in their absence? Not going to lie, I was surprised by this passage, especially having seen that Hector Neris left the Astros for not a ton of money. Multiple people in and around the Astros clubhouse last season pointed to Hector Neris, Martin Maldonado, and Michael Brantley as the team's most impactful leaders. And now, all 3 of those guys are gone. So I suppose it falls to Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, Justin Verlander, Lance McCullers Jr. as the next man up in that capacity. I suppose it could be Kyle Tucker, but another contract year? I don't know about that. I suppose it could be Altuve, but Altuve, Yordan, they've never really been the outspoken guy. I don't know that you necessarily need an outspoken person to be your leader, but it certainly helps. Is Yiner Diaz going to be looked at that? Definitely a lot more responsibility for him than we probably are going to admit going into the year. It's very easy while watching a baseball game to get mad at a pitcher for location selection, pitch selection, when sometimes it's the catcher who's making the calls there. And for all of his faults at the plate, Martin Maldonado was awesome at that. So this is going to be interesting. I wonder who the next person up is. I don't know that this is a massive problem, but I was surprised to see Bert Chandler. A lot of people were pointing to those 3, Hector Neris, Martin Maldonado, and Michael Brantley as the guys that people spoke to in the locker room. We knew that Brantley was that. We knew that Maldonado was that. I did not think Neris would be that, and all of them are now gone.
Yeah, I do wonder. I mean, it's funny. Let's just fast forward a year. We'll be talking about this guy probably leaving, but Alex Bregman.
Yep, he's one of them.
He'd be one of them. And then other than that, yeah, it gets pretty quick to maybe Jeremy Pena steps up.
Jeremy Pena doesn't seem like the guy that's going to be the outspoken leader based off of every single time we've heard him speak, right? Does feel like who's the natural person to slide in here? Probably the guy who was hosting the Houston Sports Awards last night, Lance McCullers, who was making jokes about not pitching and not playing. I got to say, shout out to making fun of yourself. I'm a big fan of that. I thought Lance did a pretty good job hosting.
Not a lot of athletes would get up there and do that. Not just like host or, you know, do the emceeing of it, but also like make jokes at his own expense, especially like very pointed ones at his expense. Like that is the criticism of Lance McCullers.
I thought it was pretty damn funny. He could have gone probably a little bit further, like saying, like, man, people think I'm stealing from the Houston Astros. And yeah, I kind of am. Like, but that was pretty funny to see. But yeah, he's just one of the more outspoken players on the team. I guess Bregman also qualifies, but yeah, what if he's gone next year too? Look, their clubhouse is fine. Chaz McCormick, that's not going to happen. Their clubhouse is fine. Like, this isn't a serious issue, but it is surprising to note that those are three guys who were turned to last year. And I guess I'm curious as to who the next person up is. That's been the thing with the Astros. There's always been a next person up on that front. And this clubhouse is about as close as you'll see in baseball, a sport where there are so many people from different cultures and different backgrounds that are with one another in clubhouses, from Korea to Japan to all the South American and Caribbean countries. And it's difficult to get everybody on the same page in a sport where everyone's hanging out with each other for basically 5-6 months at a time.
Yeah, I, like you said, it's something where you're not worried about. I mean, we talked about it, and Jeremy made it a bit about Carlos Correa's mound visits, but that was an actual thing that offseason after Correa left, where Peña was going to replace him, and it was not just about his production. It was also about, you know, the leader, being the leader of the team, and
right,
who's going to step up, and I guess it was Hector Neris that stepped up.
Yeah.
against
who's he yelling odds? Slurs like he did to Julio Rodriguez.
Yeah, so that is interesting, and like you said, I'm not worried about it, but it is something to it's hard to see who kind of steps in and fills that gap. Maybe someone doesn't change who they are, but, you know, develops as a person, like has to develop into a leader, you know.
Okay.
Because not everyone's just like, plop, I'm a leader now. You know, like, it takes some.
Brock Osweiler was when he was the starting quarterback of the Houston Texans.
He read a lot of books about it.
He read books about being a leader.
Yes.
In the National Football League, make sure that you think about what you're saying and use as a filibuster in the National Football League before thinking of something like every interception has a story to say. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is that going to be a problem for the Astros? The lack of a vocal leader? I feel like it is. 713-780-3776 to call in. To text in as well. You can join us on our YouTube channel at ESPN Houston or on Twitch. Up next, CJ Stroud is officially a Pro Bowler. But holy crap, has the Pro Bowl gone south? Oh, man. You'll find out why next. Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. Tiger Friendly Radio.
About an hour ago, we had an incident where one of the employees stuck their arm through the cage and a tiger tore her arm off. I can give you your money back, or I can give you a rain check.